Yesterday we were talking about how to attain bhava bhakti, because this whole chapter, Shashtayam Sadhana, is all about bhav, which comes after sadhana bhakti is bhava bhakti. And for several verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives some description of how to practice devotional service or sadhana, especially raganuga sadhana, in such a way that we can quickly awaken bhav, or deep feelings for the Lord, and loving attachment. Well, this is some of the commentary of this verse. Text 7, which is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Seva sadaka rupena sira rupena chatrihi tadbhava lipsana karya brajaloka anusarata. Brajaloka anusarata. It's talking about how we serve the Lord in our external body, physical, material body that we have, and then how we serve the Lord in our internal or mental body, conceived spiritual body. These are two different levels of sadhana bhakti. So he says that there's five different types of sadhana in raganuga bhakti. And this is taken from a book by, it's also in Bhakti Sandarbha. It's taken by a book by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur called Rag Vartman Chandrika. And they're summarized here. And one is swabhishta bhavamaya. So abhishta means desire, swa means one's own desire, swabhishta. Bhavamaya means made of bhav. So these are activities that are actually composed of one's desired mood. What mood of devotion, what mood or sentiment we want to serve and love Krishna in. So that's then. As I mentioned, in Vaidhi Sadhana, these nine limbs of devotion, Shravanam, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smaranam. So we do these in a general way. We hear Krishna, everything about Krishna, the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and all different books that Prabhupada's produced, and other Gaudiya books. Then we chant the Maha Mantra, and we chant different kirtans and arti. So this is in Vaidhi Sadhana. So in Raganuga Sadhana, there's also hearing, there's also chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. It becomes specialized. He says when Shravanam Kirtanam and other limbs of bhakti are saturated with one of the primary bhavas, Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Madhurya, they nourish the tree of the sadhaka's future prema. At that time, they are called Bhava Maya Sadhana. When prema manifests, they are called Bhava Maya Sadhya. Sadhana means practice, sadhya means the goal or the culmination. So in rag bhakti, when one actually has rag or genuine attraction or to one particular type of lila of the Lord and even particular servants of the Lord in a particular bhav, then he starts hearing and chanting in that regard. For example, I once asked a god brother, I've told this before, I said, when you read the Krishna book, which has three different lilas there. There's Vrindavan lila, Mathura lila, and Dwarka lila. Are you attracted to any one part or the other? Or do you like one part, the lilas of Vrindavan or Mathura? So, no, I read it all. I read one chapter, the next chapter. Every day I read one chapter. I've read so many times. I'm familiar with it. Right, but no one, you don't like any lila more than others? No, I like all. It's Krishna. Krishna's so nice. I like when he kills the demons. I like when he plays the coward voice. I like with it. But there's no specific arising of an attraction for one particular lila stali. So that's a generic appreciation of Krishna, a generic attraction, a general attraction, appreciation. So that's the type of attachment that one develops in the level of Vaidhi Sadhana. There's nothing specified yet. There's nothing arisen in his heart. He has some attachment. He also has lots of anarthas, but he has some asakti attachment. It's like an abbas, it's a reflection. But it's not specified. So then he's told to continue to hear, and especially if he hears from advanced devotees, because one symptom of an advanced devotee is that he is advanced in his relationship with the Lord. And everyone is a servant of the Lord, Jivera Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. Everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord according to the Guru's order. But a truly advanced devotee He can't help but always talk about his Ishtadev. And he can't help but always talk about his particular way of being attracted to the Lord. It's natural. When you're in love with someone or deeply attached to someone, the subject of your conversations will always go to that person. For example, if a man, he's married, and say his wife is a very good cook, and she goes maybe overseas for a month or something, and visiting relatives, and then he's visiting different friends, and they invite him for dinner, then his friend's wife is cooking, and he goes there for dinner to see his friend. He says, "Oh yes, this is just like my wife makes." Or my wife, he'll say, "Oh, my wife's like this," and then he'll just keep talking about his wife, and everyone say, "Oh, that's all you talk about is your wife. Your wife cooks like this, and I wear some dress." And he says, "Oh, my wife has a dress like that, only it's yellow." And then the people say, "Well, wait a minute, your wife's in England. Why don't you relax a little bit and try to appreciate us and where we are?" And then you'll say, "Well, I can't help it. I didn't even realize, but now you're pointing out to me how much my heart is actually there, although she's not next to me." So advanced devotees, they cannot too much hide who their ishta is, and who they're interested in worshiping. So therefore, when you hear, we go and we hear from everyone, we hear Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavad Gita Mahashloke, this verse is there glorifying Bhagavatam. We should hear Bhagavatam every day. It is part of our daily practice within ISKCON and within any Gaudiya Vaishnava group. They hear the Bhagavatam every day in one form or another. But when one is awakened in a particular sthayi bhava or interest in loving the Lord as a coward boy or as a gopi or as his mother, then he very much wants to associate with devotees in that same mood. It's called sajatiya snigdha. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it says one should choose his association on the basis of two principles, sajati and snigdha. Sajati, as it sounds, it means my own family, jati. Same family. I'm Gaudiya Vaishnava, so I want to associate with Gaudiya Vaishnavas. There's Neem Barkis, and there's Ram Bhaktas, and there's Krishna Bhaktas, and there's Narayan Bhaktas. There's so many types of Bhaktas and devotees here and there, of different viewpoints, and different ishta, and different sadhanas, and different sadhyas. Some want to go to Vaikuntha, some want to go here and there, Ayodhya. But so sajati means Gaudiyas. All Gaudiya Vaishnavas want to go to Vrindavan. Their aim and ambition is to serve Krishna Balaram or Yashoda and Krishna or Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. They don't want to go to Ayodhya or to Dwarka or to Mathura or any place like this. Generally, all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So this is sajati. And then that's just a general selection. Then within the general selection of Gaudiya Vaishnava family, then we were very much keen to associate with those devotees that have the same area of interest that we have. If we're Madhurya Bhaktas or aspiring Madhurya Bhaktas or curious Madhurya Bhaktas, then we want to hear from and associate and serve Madhurya Bhaktas. If we're Sakas or interested in Sakya Bhakti or Sakya Rati, then we'll choose those that are alive in this particular mood. And then the second point is Sneha. Sajati and snigdha. Snigdha means sneha. Means that that particular devotee who is a Gaudiya Vaishnava and he's advanced in the same mood of love that I'm interested and curious about, say, for example, Sakya Rati or Madhurya Rati, then the next feature of selection, of criterion for selection, is he snigdha towards me? Is he affectionate? Does he care about me, or is he just too busy and too big and too aloof and too distant to really take care of my case very well, or to shower any mercy in my direction? So, because you may find 50 or whatever, just say 10. 50 is a lot. So you find 10 very advanced devotees, and they're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and they're also Madhurya Bhaktas, or at least they profess that or seem like that. And then of those 10, only one of them or two of them is really affectionate or personal towards us. Then naturally that would be the choice of selection for us. Because their instruction will flow, their mercy will come in the form of teaching and also affection, the affectionate touch, which makes the teachings go deeper into the heart, because it's ultimately personal. And the whole representation is personality. We're representing personality. So the more personal the guru is, then the more the teachings can be respected. Respected, accepted, honored, and served. Because one will feel that, oh, this has been personally delivered to me, and I have a personal connection with the teacher. So I have to do my homework. If the teacher is your friend, there's more pressure to do the homework. The teacher is just some guy you don't care about, and he's real impersonal, and nobody likes him, and he doesn't like anybody, then, this guy, I'll just cheat or copy somebody else's homework. But the teacher is your personal friend, and you feel, I don't want to let him down, he's my friend, and I want to do a good job, and this is part of friendship, and I want to gain more of his friendship. So I want to perform in a personal way, in the best way I can, to please my friend, because I said it's personal. So that also occurs in the level of shishya and guru and spiritual teacher and students. So this is, the first thing is subhishta bhava maya, that we'll engage in shravanam and kirtanam, which are specific. Singing songs, okay, we're going to sing so many bhajans and astakams, well, let's sing bhajans and astakams all about Radha and Krishna, if we're interested ultimately in culminations to gain the service of Radha and Krishna. And what we're going to hear about is not so much hear about Dwarka Leela and Trishti Leela and creation, although we will study those also and appreciate those and try to understand the teachings to derive from those Leelas, Kurukshetra Leela, Bhagavad Gita, etc. We will teach these and follow these. But we will more emphasize at the level of, this is of course, again, these are limbs of Raghunuga Sadhana. We will more emphasize the Braj Leela, Rasamaya Katha, Braj Leela Katha, and many books of this nature, like Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Because Ananda Vrindavan Champu is an entire 400-page book where Kavi Karnapur doesn't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Because for Kavi Karnapur, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So there's no Mathura Leela there, there's no Dwarka Leela, there's just all Braj Leela. So then there's Krishnaika Kumudi, then there's Krishna Bhavanamrita, Govinda Leelamrita, Alankar Kostuba, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Neelamani, Stavamala Stavavali. There's quite a lot of books, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. Of course, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Braj Leela, the first 39 chapters, I suppose. And all the commentaries, it's all about Braj Leela. There's lots of information to absorb our mind and senses in Braj Leela. Then there's so many supplementary books, Gorgovinda Gutika, and then Gorgovinda Smarana Padati. Many, many books. Raghavart Manachandrika, Madhurya Kadambini. All these are very important and helpful books for the student of divine amorous love. There's quite a plethora of literature available to learn, understand the science of emotional exchanges and how to go forward. So these are just some ideas. So this is called, because this type of practices, they're very specific. This is Swabhishta Bhavamaya Raghunuga Sadhana. So they nourish the tree of the sadhaka's future prema. So in the future, at the time of perfection, if we desire to enter the spiritual world in a spiritual body and serve Radha and Krishna, or specifically Radharani as one of her maidservants, or Paliadasis, or Mandris, Sakis, then to get to the goal, then there must be some practice involved, some sadhana, some abhyas. So if our goal is to become a surgeon, heart surgeon, then that's our defined goal before we enter college. And every year in college is connect every subject in college, every book we read, every test we take, every class we attend to, year, month by month, year by year, is all connected to that established goal before what at the time of enrollment. We enrolled with the idea that I want to become a heart surgeon, So then all these courses, everything is connected. It's all connected. Then at the end of the 5-6 years, then you become qualified to be a heart surgeon, hopefully. So we enroll in the school of bhakti. And someone says, "What is your major?" So, "Oh, nothing." And you go to someone in college, "What are you specializing? What are you majoring in?" "No, I'm taking everything: anthropology, psychology, biology, mathematics, physics, photography, cinematography, drama, liberal arts, bachelor of science, everything." "Acha, very interesting student. I'll see what happens where you are in 4 years." So, a jack of all trades and a master of none. So every devotee has to specialize, declare your major at a certain point. Declare your major. Then your time spent can be wisely harvested. So the second type of Raghunuga sadhana is called Svabhishta Bhava Sambandhi. This is related as sambandha, as relationship to one's desired mood. The limbs of bhakti, such as Sri Guru Padashraya, mantra jap, smaran, and dhyan, are known as bhava sambandhi sadhana because they're related. Because the following of vows and holy days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami assist the limb of smaran, is considered partial bhava sambandhi. So these, in other words, the most important aspect of Raghunuga sadhana bhakti is called Svabhishta Bhava Maya. That which is saturated with the bhava that we want. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Hearing about Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, speaking about Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, meditating about Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. This is the topmost, first, best form of the five forms of Raghunuga sadhana, where you're totally absorbed in the sadhya, or the goal. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Hearing, chanting, remembering Radha and Krishna. It's Svabhishta Bhava Maya. Svabhishta Bhava Maya, Raghunuga sadhana. And stepping down from that, the next one is that which is related to the mood that you desire. Svabhishta Bhava Sambandhi. So these are things that are not specifically Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, but they will purify one and they will enable one to increase his Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam. So they're, for example, taking shelter of a guru, very important, and receiving mantra from him and chanting those mantras and engaging in japa and then following particular Vaishnav holidays like Kartik Brat, Chaturmasya, Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Radhastami, Vamana Dwadasi, Nishringa Chaturdasi, Shivaratri, Ram Nomi, Gaur Purnima, Nityananda Trayodasi. These are the Gaudiya Vaishnava sacred days for which we fast and hear Harikatha and do special puja and worship of our various guardians. This is called Svabhishta Bhava Sambandhi, related to one's desired mood. Now, so they're helpful, they're very good, they should be done, performed. Now the third aspect, or third practice of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is called, or sadhana, is called Svabhishta Bhava Anukul. Now these are, you can do or not do. The other ones, these are injunctions, fasting. These are this Svabhishta. Svabhishta Bhava Sambandhi. These are a must. Now, Svabhishta Bhava Anukul, these are favorable to the desired mood, but not necessary. And these are, examples are given. This is Svabhishta. Svabhishta means Abhisht, right? Manobhishtam. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. He who knows the heart, the desire, the mood and heart of Lord Chaitanya. Svabhishta, my mood, my desired mood of love, the Svabhishta Bhav, my desire, what bhav, what love, what kind of bhav? Do I desire to love the Lord as a coward boy in Sakabhav? Do I desire to love the Lord and serve the Lord eternally in Madhurabhav, Madhuryabhav, as Sakhi, Sakibhav, or Manjari, Kinkari? Do I desire to serve the Lord as a mother or father in parental love, in that mood, like a nurse or a parent, like Ambika or Kalimba, Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda, that mood, those type of services to assist them and to serve in the mood of, in bhav, bhava, of Krishna's parents, is called Vatsalya bhav. So this is our swabhishta, swabhishta bhav. Then there's swabhishta bhav maya, that which is filled with your bhav, bhava sambandhi, that which is related and anukul, and it's favorable to your bhav. So the anukul, favorable to one's desired bhav, are wearing neck beads, tulsi kanti, applying tilak, adopting the outward signs of a Vaishnava, serving tulsi, performing parikrama, offering pranams, and so forth. These are bhav anukul. These are favorable. That's number three. But if you don't do these things, that doesn't mean you won't attain your desired bhav. There's many Vaishnavas. You may recall the story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. I think maybe many people have heard of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was a member of Lord Chaitanya's, associate in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. He wore no tilak, he wore no neck beads, he wore no outward signs of a Vaishnava, he did not mark his body with names of the Lord, didn't carry a bead bag around, but he was totally absorbed in love of God. For example, do the gopis of Vrindavan, do they wear tulsi beads? No. Do they wear tilak? No. Do they? They just wear some bindi because they're married, they wear something. Radharani wears a Kamayantra tilak. It's just to mystify and chant Krishna. And tulsi seva, maybe they pick tulsi, they grow tulsi to offer Krishna, put on Krishna's bhoga and to make garlands. That's a fact. They take care of tulsi because it's described in the 10th canto, the garlands that the gopis offer to Krishna, they're always interwoven with tulsi manjaris. Now the fourth type of raganuga sadhana is called swabhishta bhava avirudha. So this is avirud. I think it's the same word as there in Hindi, right? Savishta bhava avirud. It means neither opposed nor incompatible with one's desired mood. The last one is favorable, but it's not required. You can do. Generally, if your guru gives you tilak, then you wear tilak. Of course, his guru did give him tilak. But then this one is avirud, which means it's neither opposed to nor incompatible with one's desired mood. It's like neutral. Respecting cows, respecting the banyan tree, the amalaki tree, and Brahmins, these are conducive limbs, therefore they're called bhav avirud. They're not opposed to your bhav. So these four methods of sadhana are all to be adopted in the performance of raganuga sadhana bhakti. So generally, the majority of raganuga sadhana bhaktas will follow all these four, at least in the beginning. As they become more and more advanced, they don't have time to water the amalaki tree or to pay regard to it. Just like I was discussing with one advanced devotee, I said, what about Damodar month? Do you do this? Do you offer the ghee lamp to Damodar and sing this Damodar Astakam? He said, I have no time. I have no time for that. I'm doing Astakali Smaran, I'm chanting Nam, and doing Giriraj Parikrama and meditating on the Leela Stalis as I walk around. I don't have time. So this, although this is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Urja Brata and Damodar Ashtakam, we do it, but on the higher level of Rag Bhakti, then the Rag dictates your actions. We can't imitate such exalted bhakti. But it's not that every Gaudiya Vaishnava is Namamishwaram Sachirananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam. Because basically this is all about Satya Brata Muni's Abhishta. It's his Swabhishta. Swabhishta is his Swabhishta Bhavamaya. It's a bhajan by Satya Brata Muni, who was in Vatsalya Bhav. He was in the mood of, and he wanted to see Gopal. You know, he was in the mood of Mother Yashoda. And his exemplar, his role model was Mother Yashoda, the way she's chasing him, her expression, the flowers falling in her hair. And he said, I don't want anything, I only want to have this vision in my mind. I don't want to see anything else. He said, but of course, Braj, Yashoda's Bhava is there and her love with Krishna is there. But everyone, of course, the greatest, if I want to even ever attain this fulfillment of this Bhav, of Vatsalya Bhav, then I must get the mercy of Radharani. So I'm going to conclude my prayer with glorifying Radharani. He concludes his prayer, Namo Radhikaye Todiya Priyaya. He says, Radhika, she is the topmost devotee in Braj. Her love is the greatest. So he's pointing, he says, yes, she has the greatest love. There's no greater bhav than Radharani's Mahabhav for Krishna. And of course, anyone who wants to enter Braj must be favored by the Brajagopis. So even someone, because of course Yashoda is a Brajagopi herself, so if someone wants to enter Braj Leela, then they have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, even Satyavrata Muni. So Radharani, she is the source of all the gopis, and she is the source of all Krishna Shaktis. So she's concluding his prayer by offering his head at the feet of Radharani. But the prayer is like this. So someone who is on the level of Ragmarg, Raghunuga Sadhana, absorbed in his Ishta, Radharani Seva, then he says, why I waste time meditating on Yashoda? Manasya virastam alam laksha lavhai. The only thing I want to attain is have avirbhav. I want to have avirbhav of this scene. I want to have darshan. I want this avirbhav. I want this scene to appear in the core of my heart. Krishna rubbing his eyes with his two hands and crying, and Yashoda chasing him. And that's what he says. I don't want any other boon or benediction but this. The prayer is like this. So this is a high end. So there's these are the four Subhishta Avirud. So these are all to be adopted. Then the fifth type of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is called Swabhishta Bhava Virud. So the first four are do's. The fifth one is don't do this. Don't do this in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. And moreover, when one actually has rag, he automatically gives up attachment to these things. And if not, then he submits to the scriptures and follows accordingly the instructions of the acharyas. And his guru will also teach like this. Swabhishta bhava virud. These are activities which are opposed to one's desired mood. One of them is nyas. Nyas means mental assignment of different parts of the body to various deities. And that's an interesting translation. Generally, nyas is you chant mantras and you touch your thumb to different part of your body to purify your bodily limbs before you do puja, nyas. Then mudra, there's nyas, then mudra. Mudra are different positions of the fingers. There's go mudra. These are different, these kind of stapana and all these things that they do like this. You must have, if you ever seen Brahmins doing puja, they do all these fancy hand movements over the articles and over the fire. And there's many, many mudras. And of course, they're part of the natyam, also dancing. So many mudras are there to convey the emotions of the song. So there are mudras to purify articles that are used in puja. They're like vastu. They purify the vastu and they reorient the ethereal element surrounding the yajnashala by these different mudras. They create some type of energy. So these mudras, all these mudras that they do, these are geometrical, these are shapes. And they capture different energies and create different purifying forces at the yajna and over the articles. So for us, we just chant Hare Krishna. Because this Maha Mantra is the anavriti shabdat. It says that this whole material creation, everything in this material world, every shape, every form, every object, has actually appeared in this world because of sound vibration. Even the Bible acknowledges this principle of creation. It says, in the beginning there was the Word. Right? They say like this. In the beginning there was the Word. What was the Word? Well, the Word was Om. Case, that's a great secret that no one who reads the Bible knows. He asked, what was the Word? What was the Word? In the beginning was the Word. Word means vibration, sound. Sound, Word. So the sound was Om. Om Anavriti Shabdat. That Shabda, that spiritual, that sound of Om has created the entire material creation. So therefore, this Pavitram Shabda, or the Maha Mantra, we simply chant the Maha Mantra, which is transcendental Shabda, Divya Shabda, and that purifies everything. Om apavitra pavitra vasravastam katobiva yaksmarit pundarikaksham sabayabhyantara suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So by invoking Vishnu Nam or Krishna Nam at a yagya, at a puja, at an installation, at a deity worship, any time you invoke the name, then everything, all the dravya, the stapana, the desh, the articles, everything becomes totally purified by one practice of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha, whenever we're engaged in any of the limbs of devotion, which includes archanam, or worshipping a deity, we must mix that with the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Then everything will become perfect, pure, and complete. But in Rag Marg, it's obviously putting attention on you and your body, not on Lila Smaranam. So it's nixed, it's neglected. So this is mudra. Then Dwarka Dhyan, because this is recommended that one should meditate on Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. But we don't do Mahishi, it's called Mahishi Dhyan. Meditate on the Mahishis and their service and their submission and dedication to Krishna in Dwarka. But for Rag Marg is for Braj Bhakti. And Braj Bhakti, we're not interested in Dwarka. We're going to Dwarka. So there's no Mahishi Dhyan meditating on the queens of Dwarka. So they're abandoned in the performance of Raghunanda Bhakti because they're opposed to the attainment of one's desired bhav. Swabhishta bhav, our desired bhav, my personal ambition to attain love for Krishna, a particular mood of love, madhurya, vatsalya, or sakya. This is virud, virudha. This is against it. So anything against it, I annihilate. You could say it's a specialized branch of pratikulyasya, varjanam. There are six symptoms of surrender that are given in Nectar Devotion and other books. Anukulyena sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishiti vishaso gupta trevaranam tata sadvira sharanagati. There are six symptoms of surrender. So one is to accept everything favorable for Krishna's loving service, and the other is to reject everything unfavorable. So taking these six principles of surrender, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami and Sandarvas have explained these five principles of Raghunanda Sadhana Bhakti in a specific way. So now this goes on, this discussion here. The Rag Marg Sadhaka always follows the Brijvasis. In other words, he follows Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and he constantly practices the process of bhajan shown by them. A Rag Marg Sadhaka should always reside in Braj. If possible, he should reside there physically, otherwise mentally. So as I said the other day, Vrindavan should live inside of us. If we should live inside of Vrindavan with Vrindavan inside of us. And if we live outside of Vrindavan, then we live outside of Vrindavan with Vrindavan inside of us. So inside of Vrindavan or outside, the key point is to have Vrindavan inside of us. It's not enough, although it's helpful, it's purifying. It's progressive to live in Vrindavan physically and not mentally. But this is not what he recommends. Living in Vrindavan is conducive to living there mentally, because everywhere you see, you'll think. You'll see this Kadamba Kandi and think, oh, Krishna climbed a Kadamba tree. He jumped off the Kadamba tree to vanquish Kaliya. He stole the clothes from the gopis, ran off a Kadamba tree. So seeing any object in Vrindavan, especially Leela Stalis, will force our mind to go towards Krishna. And that's the whole success, is for the mind to be absorbed in Krishna. And for outside of Vrindavan, then we should always hear about Vrindavan and read about Vrindavan and remember Vrindavan. Oh, now I'm in Delhi. Oh, now it's holy time. It's holy, and the gopis and Krishna are meeting in Barsana, and they're throwing so many colors, singing so many songs. I have a few of these songs in Hindi about holy, so I'm going to sit down with my family and sing these songs about holy and Ho ho holy hey. And we'll throw color in each other and we'll think about Vrindavan. Somehow remember Vrindavan. Siddharupena. So that's the first part of this verse that's discussing about this whole practice of Raghunuga Bhakti, which is described in about five verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sevasadaka Rupena, Siddharupena Chaturahi. Tad Bhava Lipsana Karya Brajalokana Sarata. So Siddharupena. Sadhaka Rupena we have, we're born, and we take shelter of Guru. So our form, our Rupam, we become a sadhaka, practitioner of devotion. But then there's another form called the Siddha form, perfected form. And this is an internal form. By the mercy of the spiritual master, the sadhaka gains the ekadash bhavas and the five dashas, shravana dasha, apana dasha, etc. He then performs seva meditation while being internally absorbed in these sentiments. That is to say, he remains absorbed in remembering Astakali Lila. So this is the higher practice of Raghunuga Bhakti, where one is sufficiently purified to meditate in such a way and has developed his asakti for the Lord, attachment, and coming to the threshold of bhava, that this type of initiation will be awarded in the generally, although some gurus are more mercifully given in a very early stage also. The ekadash bhavas are sambandha, relationship, vyas, age, that's number two. Three, nam, some name of some sakhi or mandri if you're in Madhuryava. Four, rupa, personal form, complexion, etc. Five, jut, means your group, which group of sakhis you'll be serving under, Vishaka's group or Lalita's, etc. Vesh is dress. Seven is agya, specific order or instruction. Eight is vas, your residence. Will you have your eternal home in Sevakunj? Will that be your vas or Radhakund? It's like Prabhupada says that Sevakunj is my eternal home, my eternal residence. The word vas means residence. So in the Siddhadeya we have our vasa, where we do seva. And then nine is seva, which means exclusive service. What service do we specialize in? Like here, people are also specialized. Oh, I'm a dentist. I specialize in root canal, or whatever. So in the spiritual world, one has a seva. They do many other things according to the need of the moment. But they may be expert in cooking, or making tambal, or fanning, or dressing, or bathing, or singing, or playing musical instruments, like this. And then they do other things also. Specific exclusive seva. Ten is parakashta swasa. This is the utmost summit of divine sentiment, which is the aspirant's very life breath. That's a particular type of bhav, specified bhav within the main sthayi bhav. And 11 is palyadasi bhav. This is the sentiment of a maidservant. So then the five dashas are shravana dasha, the stage of hearing, varan dasha, this is described in Jiva Dharma, stage of acceptance, smarana dasha, the stage of remembrance, vavapan dasha, the stage of spiritual ecstasy, and prema sampati dasha, the stage in which the highest success of prema is achieved. So these are different aspects of Raghunuga sadhana at a considerably elevated time of Raghunuga sadhana generally. By the mercy of the Swarup Shakti, the sadhaka receives a spiritual body appropriate for the service to Krishna. And then it says here, the Sanat Kumara Samhita describes how a sadhaka in Madhurya Rasa is always absorbed in his internally contemplated body. And the whole verse here. Atmanam chintiyat tatra tasam madhya manoraman rupa yavana sampanam kishoram Brahmadakritam. That's basically this whole thing. It's like taking the ekadash bhav given by Guru, and then now it's worked into a particular meditation. So one who receives ekadash bhav or a siddhadeya from Guru then this is a general meditation you may have. Then the guru may give specifics also. But Sadashiva is describing to Narada Muni, because Narada Muni had a desire to enter Vrindavan and have some glimpse of Krishna's Rasa-lila. So he was told that that's not possible unless you become gopi. Because there's only one male in the rasa dance, and that's Krishna. Everyone else is female. So then he asked different people, how can I get... And he said, maybe you can go to Shiva. Someone can tell you. And Shiva said, listen, Narad, you should think of yourself, you should contemplate your sarup. You should meditate that you're living in Vrindavan, surrounded by Krishna's beloved gopi damsels, who look upon Krishna as their paramour. In the following way, you should think, I am a Kishori Ramani, as a young girl, whose beautiful youthful form is full of happiness. I am skilled in many fine arts that please Krishna. I am an eternal maidservant of Sri Radha, Krishna's most beloved consort. I will always be joyful to arrange for Radha's meeting with Krishna. Therefore, even if Krishna prays for union with me, in other words, Krishna may try to seduce the Mantri, I will do anything to avoid that kind of meeting, because it would not be for Krishna's... I will do anything to avoid that kind of meeting, because it would not be for Krishna's sense pleasure, but my own. I am always ready to serve and attend Krishna's beloved Srimati Radhika. This is the Mantris that are in a mood of serving Radha. And I have more affection for Srimati Radha than I do for Krishna. It's called Radha Sneha Adhika. Every day I am devoted to affectionately and carefully arranging meetings between Radha and Krishna. Remaining absorbed in the happiness of serving them, I will increase the bliss of that meeting. So this is the meditation. And this Sanat Kumara Samhita is very, very old scripture. So this is a general meditation. Just kind of gives a basic shape to one's meditation in terms of his siddhadeya as a mandri. But specifics aren't given here. So this type of meditation could be done even before one attains his siddhadeya. Because Sanat Kumara Samhita doesn't specifically say about all these things. This is the general. The specifics of Ekadash, or the 11 symptoms of one's sarup, are generally revealed by Guru, or by Super Soul, or by the Maha Mantra, all by the mercy of Guru, because no one can have any connection with Super Soul without the blessings of Guru. And no one can contact Srup Shakti from the Lord's eternal servants without the blessings of Guru. And no one can get the direct mercy of the Guru to get Siddhadeya directly from him unless he pleases the Guru. So at every stage of the game, it's telling one must receive Siddhadeya by the mercy of Guru. And it's quite correct. In this way, while contemplating one's sarup, one should perform Manasi Seva in the transcendental land of Vrindavan from Brahma Muhurta until midnight. That way you'll actually touch all the Astakali Leelas. So there's different Leelas for different periods of day. If you take rest at 10 o'clock, then you'll miss the Nisha Leela, which ends at 3. If you take rest at 10 to get up at 5 or 4, then you'll miss the Nisha Leela. It's a very rigorous schedule. From 4 a.m. in the morning, or you have to be awake until midnight. The word Siddharupena is defined as the internally contemplated body that is suitable for carrying out one's desired service in the spiritual world. One should thus be engaged in service according to one's mood and with a body suitable for serving Krishna. One should serve being absorbed in the ocean of sentiments of Krishna's beloved associates and Braj, who fulfill his innermost desires. So, I'll just finish. There's one more. The Sri Gurudev is the desire tree of the devotees. He makes the Siddhadeha appear within the heart of his dear disciple, and therefore, and thereafter, he acquaints him with the Siddhadeha. Having full faith in the Guru's words, the sadhaka performs bhajan with firm nishtha, and by the mercy of Ladini Shakti, he fully realizes his ultimate state of being. The sadhaka then completely identifies himself with his siddhadeya, and in his perfected form, he intently engages in the service of his most cherished Sri Krishna, Lila Vilasi, the enjoyer of pastimes. So there are some more verses about this, verse 8, 12, and 15, which we'll discuss in the subsequent days. But this is all about Raghunuga Bhakti and the higher limits of Raghunuga Bhakti. But until one becomes qualified, first Rag has to awaken the globe in deep greed to follow a particular resident of Vrindavan. And that comes by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and all books about Vrindavan and the particular mood of love that we have attraction to serve Krishna in. And then we engage in this seva sadaka rupena. We engage in service according with our sadaka rupa in terms of Rupa Goswami, Upadeshamrita, and Manashiksha of Raghunath Das. And then at the appropriate time, which mostly it's told generally at the level of a ruchi or a sakti, then the guru may give us a meditation, something like Sanat Kumara Samhita, to give us a general meditation on sarup. And then we'll continue with that meditation and some different adjustments and deepen our attachment to Krishna and service to Krishna in meditation and rise to the level of bhava. The level of bhava, the sarup shakti, will descend into the heart by the mercy of Guru. And then we'll realize the specifics of that siddhadeya he's been generally meditating on. He actually realize it. And then the level of bhava, when bhava, which is ladini shakti and samvit, mixes in the heart, then that siddhadeya will be seen and all the aspects realized, all the 11 particulars. Then the level of bhava, one can actually enter into lila pravesha, meditate on Krishna's lila, and engage directly in service. But before that, one may be advised in a general way to enter, let's try to capture part of it. But you won't actually have access or really have a spiritual body till bhava appears. So this is kind of a summary of what we're discussing right now. This high things. But as I said, in the modern contemporary world, it's the exception, not the rule. It's a very rare exception. The liberal acharyas of devotion, they introduce even devotees at the level of very much the level of Narta Nivritti. They give them Siddha Pranali. That's their mercy. And what the disciple can do with it, that remains to be seen. But the larger number of Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas and gurus, they like to see a ruchi and a sakti as being the required qualification before given such high initiations. So it's like this. There's no wrong or right in this area. It's all right. It's all mercy. There's a question about reading different books, a variety of books, and then there's some warning that one should not become a jnani, and Krishnath Kaviraj said one should not just be reading all over the place and become a jnani. So is reading different books, is it like this? But of course, Diksha Guru and Bhajan Shiksha Guru will guide one. It's because that's a little bit different idea there, because it's kind of in relation to Mukunda Das, who was getting involved with the jnani sometimes and the Mayavadi sometimes and the Bhakta sometimes and reading all kinds of things, all different areas. I think that really applies more over to especially to modern devotees who like to read all kinds of novels and all kinds of books just to be out of curiosity. But actually, our area of study, for example, reading books about Radha and Krishna, frankly speaking, there's about 30 books. And most of them are some of them are sub-books. I mean, they say Vilap Kusumanjali, or they say Raja Vilastava, but Vilap Kusumanjali is part of Stavavali. Stavavali has 20 little books or 20 little poems inside. So if you just take Stavavali and Stavamala, and Bhavanasara Sangra, which is an anthology, there's about maximum 30 books. So if you're going to spend 50 years of your life practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavism, say from the age of 20, say 50, 60 years, You have 60 years to deal with 30 books. It's not too many books. So it's, I think, but there's literally thousands of Vedic literatures. One can get involved with Naya, one can get involved with Sanskrit and Naya and Sahitya and Kavi, and really get extended in 100 directions. But the Bhajan Shiksha Guru, he will advise accordingly. And practically speaking, Prabhupada, what he, in the short time he was with us, and considering everything he had to do, he gave us some of the most essential books, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, for example, there are about 20 different books mentioned there. Govinda Lilamrita is quoted there, Bhavanamrita. So many books are quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, you're already reading 20 books. So if you go on, if you take, you're introduced to those books, there's many, many quotes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita from 20 other books, then if you go and read those 20 other books, it'll simply be a follow-up of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's all kind of one area. Everything should be guided. Like some people, they get into reading the Puranas and Skanda Purana and Padma Purana. That's the whole idea that the Goswamis came. The whole idea in the Goswami Astakam, Srinivasacharya glorifies six Goswamis by saying, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipanosa Dharma Sanstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakuro. He says, Nana Shastra Vichara Sadharma Samstapako. The Goswamis read everything. Like the Goswamis read Rupa Goswami read the Garga Samhita entirely, took out one verse and put it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And now Garga Samhita is in English and people get all bewildered by Garga Samhita, this story, that story. Shankarachuda picked up Govardhan Hill and threw it at Krishna, and Krishna picked it up and threw it back. And I thought Govardhan Hill was Krishna, and why are they throwing Govardhan Hill around? And you know, so, but Rupa Goswami, he thought it was important to quote one verse from Garga Samhita. But now, there's many, many books on the market. You can get lost. You can really get lost in Garga Samhita and Radharani curse, Veera Devi cursing Radharani and how Radharani gets cursed. And this is a whole other Radharani. This isn't the Radharani we worship. There's no need to deal with the story of Tulsi and all these things. What did the six Goswamis give us? The six Goswamis and those that follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, we should be tightly adhered to them. Then we'll get perfection. If we go hither and thither and read everything in the market, then we'll just get Khitri brain. Oh, there's an interesting story in Garga Samhita. I mean, I have all these books, I've looked through them, but just to understand what's going on, and maybe tell some different pastimes, but I'll never tell a pastime. It may be in Garga Samhita, but if it's not anukul for Braj Bhakti, I'll never tell it. I never once told a story of cursing this and that, because even as told in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and also in Bhakti Sundarbha, there's two Goloka Vrindavans. Aishwarya Goloka, Madhurya Goloka. Aishwarya Goloka is Radha and Krishna, but it's all in the outer, it's like the outer limits. It's not Nikunja Lila. It's a very much an official Aishwarya Radha and Krishna. So this cursing and everything, that's like some expansion that goes on. We don't worship that. And in the Braj that we worship, it's Premadam. There's no envy, there's no cursing, this, that. It's not acceptable. So one can get really confused without a teacher. That's why a teacher is required. Everyone can read. You have two eyes, you have a brain, you can read. The book's there, 100 rupees, you buy it. You read it and you get all upside down, you get all confused. Hare Krishna. Everything under anugatya, under. It says, that's why the Nectar of Instruction is so fantastic. It's really a fantastic book. It says, Anugami, Brajatishtan Anuragi Anugami. And it says that one should live in Braj, Brajatishtan. Live in Braj means you want to live in Braj or you want to do Braj Bhajan. Anuragi Anugami. One should follow an Anuragi Vaishnava and do bhajan according to his direction. That's how you do bhajan. This is told in Nectar of Instruction, maybe number 10 or so. Brajatishtan. Rupa Goswami is saying, live in Braj. Okay, live in Braj. Either outside of Braj, be in Braj, or inside Braj, be in Braj. Well, how do you be in Braj? You be in Braj by hearing about Braj. Well, how do you hear about Braj? You have to read books about Braj. Which books to read when you have to ask an Anuragi Vaishnav, when it was an Anurag, or following the path of Anurag. So then he'll know, yes, this is good, this is not bad, not good. Well, at least we've tried our best to produce books that are in line with our Guru Maharaj's teachings, and they're all the most correct and acceptable books. Bhavanasara Sangraha, Krishnaika Kumudi, Madha Mahotsav, these are all books, Vishwanath Chakravarti, these are all books by our six Goswamis. So these are the books. We have all these kind of books we can read more and more. You know. Bhakti Sandarbha, well, get Kushakrata's edition, get someone else's edition, read three editions of that, because each devotee will contribute more and more to the picture. Because there's several editions of the same books by different authors. The more advanced the author, then the more perfect the translation. But everything requires guidance, otherwise we just waste a lot of time in unrelated books. Time is very less. And most of the gurus I ever met, they said, just read a few books and become a master of them. If you want to make it easy, just read Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you just take Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get everything. But then when you read that, you see, oh, Govinda Lilamrita is quoted here. Oh, what's this about? And Prabhupada himself is saying right on the tapes in 1969 on his dictation, his Krishna book dictation, which is part of the folio, he's saying, yes, and there are some very wonderful books like Krishna Bhavanamrita. If one reads Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishnu Chakravarti, he can be absorbed in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. This is a very good book to read. He goes on like this for several sentences. It was 1969, Prabhupada was saying, yes, it's a good book, and it's all Astakali Lila. Prabhupada's own words. And it's very interesting, someone might ask the question, why didn't Prabhupada recommend Govinda Lila Amrita? Because that came first. Krishna Bhavanamrita was written 130 years later. Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada favored. He was writing articles about it in his Back to God in English in 1944, verse by verse. So he liked so much Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he could have said, yes, and one should read the Govinda Lilamrita by the same author, Krishnadas Kaviraj. But no, he specifies of these two most prominent and famous Astakali Lila Shastras, Krishna Bhavanamrita and Govinda Lilamrita. He specially mentions Krishna Bhavanamrita. Why? Why does he say that? He says that because Krishna Bhavanamrita is all about the viewpoint of Krishna's Astakali Lila, the viewpoint from a Manjari. A Manjari looking at the Lila, and specifically a Manjari fixed on the happiness and pleasure of Srimati Radharani. Because so much, the Bhavanamrita is completely in the mood from Manjari Bhav, whereas Govinda Lilamrita presents some Sakiras is there and given a viewpoint, and so is Vatsali Ras. And Manjari Bhav plays a little bit in the background. If you finally study these books, you'll hear from Acharyas and you yourself will realize. So Prabhupada, being a Manjari himself, a Pran Sakhi, he favors the Bhavanamrita because it presents so much the position of Radharani. You see, if you study, Radharani's position is more accented there. She's more prominent. It's Bhav. It's actually, Govinda Lilamrita is more details of the Leelas, this and that, and the parrots and this. And that's like most devotees when they first approach these subjects, they too much like Govinda Lilamrita, because it's like many external settings and scenes and colors and designs. But if as one advances more and more, goes higher and around, he'll see that the Bhavanamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, is very esoteric and has much deeper feelings and emotions and bhavas, and less descriptions. So that generally we're a little bit superficial when we first start, so we favor Govinda Lilamrita. But advanced Vaishnava, so Prabhupada, he's just saying, hey, take the tops. Go for the top book, Krishna Bhavanamrita. Because this quotation of Prabhupada I've been meditating on and following for about 21 years. And I've come to some realizations of why Prabhupada recommended. Close there. Hare Krishna.